morning.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
You're listening to the Ion Cannon Podcast.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Your source for entertainment reviews from a galaxy far, far away.
This is it.
Hey, laser clankers!
Welcome to the Ion Cannon Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Steven, and I'm joined by my friends and co-hosts, Tom and William. And today we are back to discuss Season 3, Episode 5 of The Bad Batch, titled The Return. We've returned to record the next episode. That was great.
And the podcast came grinding to a halt.
Yeah, but we can get into the episode rundown to pick it back up again.
Let's do it, because I'm excited to review more Bad Batch. So, Tom.
Yes. So, in this episode, we're reviewing The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 5, The Return, directed by Nate Villanueva and written by Amanda Rose Munoz. In this episode, The Bad Batch visits an old Imperial facility to decrypt a data pad.
Yes, yes. And, right off the bat, everyone is, they're adjusting to having Crosshair back. And I like, again, it's not instantaneous, nor should it be, right? You've got this guy who was pretty antagonistic through the last two seasons, and rightly so. Wrecker and Hunter are a little skeptical. They don't really trust him. And even Crosshair is keeping his distance from the rest of the batch. He's doing his sniper practice with AZI-3, while Wrecker and Hunter are kind of very far away, doing their own thing. And it's kind of an uneasy alliance, I'd say.
Would you call it an alliance, or would you just call it an uneasy getting the gang back together again?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's just in general, right? Nobody really trusts each other at all.
And to a certain extent, you can make an argument for that because of everything the Crosshair has been through and Hunter and Wrecker has been through. But there has to be a certain adjustment point in which there's a common goal they're all working toward. So at some point, they will bring him back into the fold. It's inevitable almost. It's just going to take a while to get there.
Right, exactly. But I like how they showed that, right? They showed it how they're not going to accept him right away. It takes a little bit of time. They have to get really adjust to having Crosshair back, because he's been such an antagonistic force throughout this entire series. And so having him come back as, oh, everything's fine, just like normal, that would be too easy. And so I'm glad they didn't do that.
I am too. Yeah. Although I do appreciate things like, Wrecker returns Crosshair's armor to him, mm-hmm. showing that, he makes comment about didn't feel right getting rid of it. The keys or the pieces of the relationship are all still there. And I look forward to, this episode obviously does a lot of that, but continuing to have that relationship regrow across the board as he once again becomes a member of the batch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. While there is this distance, and rightly so, as we talked about, they did keep his armor. They had a small hope that maybe he would come back someday. If so, if not, why would you keep that, right? And so I liked that. It shows a lot where you can't get over that hurt that quickly, but they still want to. They have a desire to get over that. And it shows how much they care and how much they want to have him back, even if it's not a instantaneous process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, it was just cool seeing the armor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's always had pretty great armor, so, complaints. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, and, we get a little joke, I think, about how it maybe doesn't fit correctly, and also some references to how we always forget this, right? But Omega and Boba, her brother, they're actually older than most clones. They're some of the original clones. And so while they look way younger, they don't have the growth acceleration. Technically, they were born first. And so I like how she's kind of jokes with them.
Rixana plays with it a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get a little bit about you know, obviously the obligatory, right, Omega filling in everyone in on what happened while she was in prison, right? A little bit about Mount Tantus and how they could use Nalase's data pad to learn more, but they, you know, to launch an attack on Mount Tantus, but they kind of hard to get in. They'd have to, or they have, she has Nalase's data pad, but they have to decrypt it. And there's no way of decrypting it. And so that leads them to a very important location from last season, Bartan 4, which of course debuted in the episode The Outpost, the fantastic episode from season 2, where I think was a really the turning point for Crosshair, where he snapped mm-hmm. and realized the Empire is bad. The Empire is evil.
Yep.
And so having them return to the Outpost was just, I think, a stroke of brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
It works really, really well, both as a place, obviously, the Empire is abandoned. Easy place to, you know, hook up the data pad, do what they need to do. But yeah, just a great storytelling location for Crosshair. And I even appreciated throughout the episode, Crosshair doesn't ever step out of character. Like, I kept expecting him to just like, this is where I betrayed the Empire, or, mm-hmm. you know, however you want to phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
He never once
says
it.
But he doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, he keeps it all bottled up inside, and it's only through, like, persistent pushing and as stuff goes wrong that he's kind of forced to reveal some of what happened here. And even then, he never really gives any specifics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's a very private person. He doesn't really like to show much emotion or go into too much detail. But you're right. He's definitely... you can see that it's definitely on the forefront of his mind while he's on this planet. He's back there, and it's empty, right? All the clones who used to be there, Mayday, Hex, Veech, are gone, and he even finds their old helmets, those really cool helmets. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
you could, Dee Bradley Baker just plays him so well, because you can see the emotion and the what he's going through, even though he's not telling his brothers what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the pain was real for him as he's sitting there looking at the helmets and just recounting everything he went through
mm-hmm.
at that base. Yep. Just amazing.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And also gives Hunter the pause, just like, okay, you know, what's going on? What happened here? And it also gets to the point where it's like, Crosshair is private. He doesn't want to give up what happened there at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, yeah, it is such a great, so well shot and well acted throughout this whole episode. It's if you forgot the episode from last season, maybe this episode packs a little bit less of an emotional punch. But if you remember that episode, my goodness, it is just like, yeah, dripping with that weight that Crosshair feels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. The thrust of the episode, I would say, though, is there are these perimeter sensors around the base. The sensors go down as they transfer, you know, whatever material or power over to it.
They had to reroute it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to reroute it to get the data pad to get that terminal working for the data pad.
Do we get, I don't know if we get the name of the monster, very Dune sandworm-esque, except snow.
Snowworm, sure. Something like that. I think we can go with it.
But obviously it reaches the perimeter and begins coming in through the base. And, you know, it's up to Crosshair and Hunter to lead it back out. Wrecker's got to dig in, get in, reset the power. Omega's going to flip the switch once it's passed again. And all manner of, you know, hijinks ensue. Hunter falls through the ice, gets very...
The chase begins.
I feel like Hunter should have been down a couple times in this episode, but the worm kind of ignores him, was kind of what it seemed like.
He remembered him from last time. He's like, you're good people. I got you. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, but I like that we got to see more of it, because there was a threat, right? We saw all of the shoot, what are the names of the creatures on there? Not Veach. Oh, I forget. Anyway, the vultures, right? The ice vultures.
Right.
Yep. We see a lot of them last time, but I don't think we ever really saw the big.
I definitely don't remember seeing
the giant, right? And so that explains why they had these perimeter defenses and why they were so worried. And we got hints of it, I think, in season two, but in season three, we finally get to see it for the first time, and it creates a really, it's a really cool action sequence too. I thought they did a really good job, and adds a lot of tension around, oh my gosh, we have to get the creature outside of the perimeter so we can reboot it and get the defenses back up.
They did especially a good job. I think there are a couple of scenes where, you know, Crosshair is shooting through the ice, trying to, you know, create a large enough hole that Hunter can escape from before the worm shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the classics.
Mm-hmm. And more importantly, this also is an opportunity for Hunter and Crosshair to reconcile as well, because, Crosshair needs to show with his actions that he is, he's changed and he's willing to help the batch. And so, you know, this is an opportunity for him to ultimately save Hunter, rescue him, you know, pull him when Hunter's like falls below the ice, and you know, he's able to save him ultimately. And it's a really nice moment, especially earlier in the episode, right? When Hunter kind of follows Crosshair out while he's checking one of the sensors and confronts him, and even starts to like push him, be like, why did you change? You got to prove to me, why are you just like pretending, or what's going on? And it's such a great moment because Hunter has no idea that where he's like really pushing Crosshair, literally and figuratively, is, I think, the exact place where he realized that the Empire was evil.
They did a flashback, didn't they? To where they actually showed the shot again.
Yeah. And it's the exact same spot.
Yeah.
And ultimately he does reveal that, no, he killed an Imperial officer. And I think that starts to help Hunter understand. And then, you know, of course, when he saved Hunter later, that really reinforces that. What did you think about Crosshair being mad at Hunter, though, for not protecting Omega more?
I mean, I think it's more Hunter pointing out that there is a, not a double standard, but like all of Hunter's anger that he's feeling at Crosshair is not purely about what Crosshair did.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter obviously feels guilty. Hunter even knows he's not the one that rescued Omega either.
Right.
Like Omega kind of had to do it herself. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some amount of guilt that is eating him up inside there.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree with that point.
Yeah.
But I appreciated Echo's comment about, you know, oh, look, they've solved it. They didn't even have to. There's not even any blood this time.
yeah, so especially for the two like little hard, you know, very strong-willed clones like Hunter and Crosshair. I guess that's a good thing. I did like how we get a little bit of Echo, a little bit of Rex as well, which is nice in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Not a ton, but we did get them a little bit. So that was really fun, and hopefully we get more of them as the season progresses.
Yeah, I mean, any other thoughts on this episode? It's a pretty straightforward one, all things considered.
It is, but I think really, really well done, because it packs that emotional punch. And I think that's what makes this episode so good, is how it has those parallels to last season and that episode of Mar 10-4. And it's absolutely critical to helping you understand both the viewer, as well as to remind the viewer, as well as to helping the Bad Batch understand why Crosshair is the way he is now, what happened. And he's not just faking it or trying to infiltrate them or getting ready to betray them. He truly has changed. The thing they've been wanting for a long time, but it's actually coming true. And so it's a absolutely critical episode. And you know, it also progresses the larger plot along as well, right? They do They find out that the data pad doesn't have the coordinates for Tantus, but it gets them a step closer. It gets them, you know, into the general direction of where Wayland is and Mount Tantus. And so, ultimately, it's really a critical character moment. And Hunter and Crosshair, I think, finally understand each other and maybe have come to a bit of a resolution. So, I don't know. I think I would. I really enjoyed this episode. I give it, I think, 8 Womp Rats out of 10. I'm almost tempted to go higher because I just love the personal dynamic between them. The overall episode was really fun as well. Some good action and they progress it. But yeah, that, you know, I think I will. 8.5 Womp Rats, right? Because you've got that character dynamic is just so good. So yeah, that's my rating. And I think the Womp Rats. You know, when the perimeter goes down, what they really should have done is just use the Womp Rats to as bait for the big creature. I don't think we ever really know what it's called, right? But it's almost like a worm. You know,
I think we keep it with the snow worm.
Snow worm, yeah. I like it.
Snow worm.
Yeah, Steven, what would you rate this episode?
I think I'm gonna go with a 7.5. I don't really have anything meaningfully different from what you mentioned, William. Like it's a solid episode overall. I wish there was maybe a little bit more complexity in like the worm chase and maybe a little bit more to the battle with it. But I get that the goal was just to get it outside, not to kill the worm or defeat the worm or anything like that. But similarly, like the through line between Hunter and Crosshair, I think is the magic of the episode. Mm-hmm. I haven't really put this into words until now, but like, I think Crosshair is probably one of the more interesting characters in the Bad Batch because they spent so much time giving him backstory. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it yet, but like the new Avatar Last Airbender live action show is on Netflix. And I'm kind of reminded of Zuko, who is one of the best characters in the original series because he starts off as a villain and you watch his character evolve and grow throughout it. And I think Crosshair is kind of getting that same advantage of like, we saw him, you know, start neutral, go side with the Empire, and now coming back the other way. And the fact that he's got that motion and character development goes a long way. Hunter and Wrecker are great, but neither of them have had that type of arc in the same way. So I'm loving how much we're getting to explore Crosshair in this season. But yeah, so I'll do 7.5 Womp Rats. I'm not quite sure what to do to my Womp Rats. I think, unfortunately, they may have been responsible for the power outages that occurred. You know, there's Womp Rats in the cabling eating through. It's really what happens if you don't have, you know, the clone troopers or the base staff there to shoo the Womp Rats around and feed them normally. Mm-hmm. They go wild. They chew all the cables. It's not good. It's rough.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to go, and I think you guys have summed up basically the episode as well as I could. I'm going to give the episode an 8. The only thing I'm going to add is the one thing that I appreciate is I like how they're giving you the little bits on, hey, this is something that's going to get us to Tantus, but it's not everything yet. Because if they did everything now, then basically the show is going to be over. But to drop those little bits sporadically to show that it is moving forward and they're going to get there at some point, you know that at one point that key is going to unlock where they need to go. And then, you know, that's going to kick the show into higher gear at this point. And I think the thing when it comes to Crosshair, it's fascinating to see that it is true. You've got Hunter and Wrecker have not had that character growth, but watching Crosshair, his evolution going forward is going to be fascinating because he is broken and he's slowly being built back up to be an effective clone again within the Bad Batch. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing, how he grows at that point. And being back with Hunter and Wrecker and with Omega kind of helping along, it's going to be fun to see how he gets back to being Crosshair. And it's going to be at that one moment where you need him to be Crosshair at that moment. It's going to have to be pushed to that point, but I'm looking forward to watching his growth at this point. So I give it an 8. And my Womp Rats, they were probably running through the tunnels to be the decoys. They took a wrong turn and froze on the planet. That's all I can say.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was fun. This was a I always enjoy discussing the Bad Batch, and yeah, it was a great character moment. Probably one of the best ones the series has had. Both mm-hmm. both actually on Bar 10-4, I think, are some of the best character moments we've had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So good. But next week we have a two-parter. We're gonna get two episodes: the Bad Batch Season 3, Episodes 6 and 7. Infiltration and Extraction. And it's two episodes, so that gotta tell you that maybe there's something important in play. So I am excited to review this with you guys next week. This one should be a fun one. This is one of, I think, two mid-season two-parters before the finale, so we're trucking along. We'll be halfway through the season next week. Hard to believe, but you know, that's
crazy.
Of course, that's because we had a 3-episode premiere and another 2-episode installment. So the back half will go. I'm sure the story will go fast, but the length of time will be a little bit longer between episodes. But yeah, excited for that. Thank you all for listening. This is always we enjoy having you spend your time with us, and we'll be back next week with our review of Infiltration and Extraction.
Thank you for listening to the Ion Cannon podcast, your source for entertainment reviews from a galaxy far, far away. For over a decade, Ion Cannon has covered every corner of the saga, from the films and animated series like The Clone Wars and Rebels, to books, comics, games, and more. If you like what you hear, please rate us in your favorite podcast client. Your review will help this show grow within the Star Wars community. We can be found at our website, ioncannoncast.com, and you can follow us through Facebook and Twitter. To email us, you can do so at contact@ioncannoncast.com. The Ion Cannon podcast is not associated with Lucasfilm, the Walt Disney Company, or any and all of their respective trademarks or copyright holders. Any opinion expressed on the show are that of the hosts. This podcast is a production by fans, for fans, and is copyright 2018.